16. For a moment, Rissen was transported back to the Reshi Isles, falling, falling, hitting water. For a moment she was in that deep again after having plunged from such an incredible height, numb, watching the light retreat, unable to move, unable to save herself. Then the two moments separated. She wasn't in the Reshi Isles. She was in the frigid ocean near Akina. The shock of the cold made her want to gasp or scream. Fortunately, she kept her mouth closed, as Cord, swimming mostly with her legs, propelled them downward. Deeper, deeper. Fierce Bren trailed behind Rissen like bubbles. Cord was an unexpectedly powerful swimmer, but being carried this way, pulled into the dark, made Rissen panic. It brought back not only the terror of her near-death experience, but the helplessness of the awful weeks that had followed. Previously mundane acts, like getting out of bed, visiting the washroom, or even getting herself something to eat, had suddenly become near impossible. The resulting fear, frustration, and helplessness had almost overwhelmed Rissen. She'd spent days lying in bed, feeling that she should have died rather than becoming such a burden. She had surmounted those emotions. With effort and help from her parents and Vestim, she'd realized there was so much she could still do. She could make her life better. She was not a burden. She was a person. However, as the ocean swallowed her again, she found her old fears alive and well, festering inside. The abject sense of helplessness, the terror at being entirely at the mercy of other people. And then she saw the Spren. Not the fear Spren, but luck Spren, like arrowheads with stubby, rippling bodies. They darted through the water around her and Cord, dozens, hundreds. Light from the clouded sky above vanished, and Rissen's ears hurt so much she was forced to equalize by blowing with her nose pinched. But those Spren were glowing, lighting the way, urging them forward. "I know you, Spren," she thought. She should have panicked, should have worried about drowning. Instead, she watched the Spren. "How did I fall from so high and not die? Everyone called it a miracle." She twisted in Cord's grip. The Spren led them toward a shimmering light emanating from some rocks ahead. A small tunnel? At last, Rissen noticed her lungs beginning to burn. She slipped out of Cord's grasp and turned, then pulled herself along the rocks. Cord came behind, and the Spren ushered them, guided them through the dark depths until... Rissen pulled herself up into the air. Cord emerged a moment later. Rissen gasped for breath, trembling in the darkness. What had happened to the light? The Spren? Suddenly it was completely dark, though the sound of their breath echoed against nearby walls. They seemed to have emerged into some kind of cavern under the island. Rissen grabbed some rocks at the side of the pool, clinging to them with her right arm as she reached the money pouch in her left skirt pocket for spheres. She fiddled in it, then brought out a bright diamond mark, gripping it through the thin cloth of her safe-hand glove. The light revealed Cord, her red hair plastered to her skin, holding to the rocks nearby. They were indeed in a cavern. Well, a tunnel that ended in a small pool. Cord climbed up onto the rocks, then helped Rissen out. They sat for a moment, coughing, breathing deeply.
"Are they still here?" Rissen eventually asked. "The Lux Spren?"
"Apalikitokoa,"
Cord said, pointing in the air, though Rissen saw nothing.
"They appeared to you?"
"Yes," Rissen whispered. "Under the water."
"They guided us, sped us as we swam," Cord said. "My father has always had the blessings of Spren. They used to strengthen his arm when he drew the bow of ours in the peaks. But I've never known such blessings.
Her finger traced a path leading down the tunnel.
They're going this way.
The creatures that came onto the ship, Rissen said. Nickly, whatever he is. They can swim. I doubt we're safe down here.
Perhaps there is a way out, Cord said. I will look.
Rissen nodded, though she didn't have much hope. During her travels with her Babsk, they'd visited the Pure Lake, where he'd made her read a book on the local people. There had been an entire chapter on how the place drained during storms, and though she hadn't been able to make much sense of it, she was pretty certain a chamber this far down couldn't have air unless there was no way for it to escape upward. That meant they were cornered. Rissen settled her back against a stone, her legs stretched in front of her. Cord hurried off, dripping water and carrying a sphere for light. Rissen fished in her pockets. What did she have of use? A few more spheres? And some ruby fabrials? For a moment she thought they were from Spanreeds. But no. These were the rubies from her chair, secured in metal housings with straps to tie them into place. They were paired with a set on the anchor rigged to the mast of the ship. Strange. To think how optimistic she'd been only a short time ago, before she'd led the entire crew to their doom. Would Radiance, Lopan, and Huyo be able to save them, maybe?
And so you're helpless again, she thought. Just sitting around, waiting for someone else to come and take care of you?
Vestim had put her in command for a reason. He trusted her. Couldn't she do herself the same honor?
Rissen! Cord called, her voice echoing in the tunnel.
The horn-eater woman appeared a short time later, panting, her eyes wide. Her figure threw crazy shadows across the walls as she waved the hand holding the sphere.
You must see.
See what? Rissen asked.
Treasure, Cord said. Plate, Rissen. Shard plate. The gods heard my prayers and have led me to him.
She stooped to heave Rissen over her shoulder again.
Wait, Rissen said. Let's try these, maybe.
She held up a ruby and activated it with a twist of part of the housing. That left it hanging in the air. Cord ran off, then returned shortly with a small bench and an antiquated spear. That worked fairly well. Using the leather straps on the fabrials, Rissen tied them to the legs of the small bench. When Cord lifted the bench and Rissen activated the fabrials, they made it hover. It did rise and fall slightly with the movements of the ship up above, but with the still ocean around here, that variation wasn't much. A short time later, Rissen pulled herself through the air with the spear, hovering alongside Cord. Though the place where they'd emerged had been unworked stone, the next section of the tunnel had been carved into a corridor. On its walls they found strange murals. People with hands forward, falling through what appeared to be portals, emerging into light? Not far past these, they entered a small room. It was perhaps 15 feet square, and Rissen's eyes were immediately drawn to the incredible mural that dominated the far wall. It depicted a sun being shattered into pieces. Cord showed her the set of shard plate, which had been carefully piled in one corner of the small chamber, along with some ornate weapons and clothing. None of those seemed to be shard weapons, but those were soul caster devices, arranged in little boxes by the wall. Four were on a bench identical to the one Rissen floated upon, and four were on the ground, probably moved by Cord. A metal door set into the stone at the left side of the room was cracked slightly open. Rissen pulled herself over and peeked through to see an even larger corridor, this one with a vaulted ceiling and fine-worked stone walls, Light shimmered somewhere farther along it, illuminating large carapace skulls with deep black eye sockets. Though she was tempted to continue exploring, something about the grand mural in the small room drew Rissen back. She pulled over to it as Cord attempted to activate the shard plate. Not a bad idea, considering their situation. Cord asked her for gemstones, and Rissen absently handed over her sphere pouch. That mural. It was circular and inlaid with golden foil. It seemed to glow with its own light. The writing on parts of it was unfamiliar to Rissen. She hadn't seen the script during any of her travels. It wasn't even the dawn chant. The peculiar letters were art themselves, curling around the outside of the exploding sun, which was divided into mostly symmetrical pieces, four of them, each in turn broken into four smaller sections. Her spear slipped from her fingers and clattered to the floor. She swore she could feel the heat of that sun burning, washing over her. It was not angry, though she knew it was being ripped apart like a person on some awful torture device. She felt something emanating from it. Resignation? Confidence? Understanding? This is the real treasure, she thought, although she didn't know why. Those words, burning on the wall. Who had created this? She had never experienced such grandeur. She traced the pieces of breaking sunlight with her eyes. Gold foil on the inside, red foil tracing the outer lines to give them depth and definition. She counted the shards in her mind over and over, feeling a reverence to the number. The sun held her. You were brought here, she thought to herself, by one of the guardians of ancient sins. Of course she had been. That made sense. Wait, did it? Yes, she thought. You were. There are few of them left. And so the sleepless take up the task. Naturally. All that nonsense on the surface of the island? Distractions. Intended to keep anyone from looking for this. Rissen shook herself, tearing her eyes away from the mural. Those had felt like someone else's thoughts, intruding into her mind. What was happening to her? Why had she dropped her spear? After all that work to be able to move on her own, she'd simply let go? She reached down, but she was too far up in the air. As she leaned over, she felt a pressure on her mind, the mural, calling to her. Nearby, Cord muttered softly. Rissen glanced over to find the horn-eater woman had the shard plate boots on and was now trying to force the breastplate to take her spheres. I think you need free gemstones, Cord, Rissen said. Not ones encased in glass.
I don't have enough of those, Cord said.
We could use these. Rissen gestured to the rubies under her bench. Cord hesitated. It's all right, Rissen said. If you can get that plate working, you might be able to defend us. Cord nodded, striding over to help Rissen down. She felt regretful. Every time she had a taste of freedom, something happened to steal it away from her. Cord sat Rissen on the cold stones, then pried the four rubies from their housings. She hooked them into the greaves of the plate, which she then attached to her legs. They tightened immediately, locking into place. She glanced at the breastplate.
We need more.
Rissen pointed to the cracked door on the other side of the room. I saw light that direction, in the larger tunnel. Maybe gemstones? Cord rushed over and pulled open the door, looking past the enormous carapace skulls toward the distant light. There are Spren, Cord said, then began walking that way, her metal boots clomping on the ground. She carried the breastplate with her, though it seemed extremely heavy. Rissen turned, trying not to look at the wall, which was growing even warmer. Unfortunately, she soon heard splashes coming from the direction of the pool. Their enemy had found them. Guardian of ancient sins, she thought. What did that mean? Why did the idea repeat over and over in her mind? She felt the mural looming, overshadowing her. Slowly she turned and gazed up at the exploding sun. Accept it. Know it. Change. It stilled, waiting for... Yes, Rissen whispered. Something slammed into her mind. It streamed from the mural through her eyes, searing her skull. It gripped her, held to her, joined with her. Light consumed Rissen entirely. A moment later, she found herself panting on the ground. She blinked, then felt at her eyes. Though tears leaked from the corners, her skin wasn't on fire, and she hadn't been blinded. She glanced up at the mural and noted it was unchanged, except she no longer felt warmth from it. It was only a mural. Beautiful, yes, but no longer what? What had changed? Scuttling sounds. Hundreds of little footsteps on the stone coming from behind. She twisted and grabbed the spear that she'd been using to move earlier, but she was no soldier. So what was she? Useless? No, she thought, determined never to sink into that self-pity again. I am far from useless. It was time to prove she deserved Vestim's trust.